Some days are terrible, you wish that you were dead. And some days are magical, like great banana bread. Someday we'll be friends with the voices in our heads. The voices in our heads.
Hi, hello, you didn't kill yourself. Oh my God. Hey, congratulations, it's hard out there. Welcome to another episode of The Voices in Our Heads. I'm Christina Hutchinson. I'm the voice in your head. And I'm in such a silly mood. I'm sitting in my apartment the day before this comes out again. Very last minute. Thanks, Mike. Kevin, we're not going to bite that, okay? Kevin had a puppuccino at Starbucks. If you don't know what that is, then you don't have a dog and you don't go to Starbucks for that. I wouldn't have known I had a Starbucks worker not asked, does your dog want a puppuccino? And I said, what the hell is that? And she said, it's just a fucking cup of whipped cream. God. And I was like, all right, I'll take it. And then I did. And boy, oh boy, my baby's an addict. My baby's a sugar addict. And that's okay. Like mother, like son. Oh, Kevin, you crazy, huh? He's so soft and cute. I had to take him to the ER again the other night because he was exhibiting those exact same symptoms in a less severe way as he did that other time. And I was like, I went to the same ER, Animal Medical Center, and I said, hey, I took my dog in like a month ago and he's having similar symptoms but less severe. Was that weed the last time that happened? Because they said probably, and then the woman looked up the test results and she was like, actually, we don't know. I'm like, well, that's cool. Can we know? How about we know? I would like to know what's wrong with my baby. Because I have really been keeping that weed off the floor, not out of the apartment. And I asked the doctor, I was like, okay, if I'm smoking a joint in the living room and the dog's in the living room, but he's not next to me, could he get too high or whatever? And they're like, maybe. Any question I asked, they said maybe. So I was like, cool. Glad I came. Anyway, I'm only smoking weed in my upstairs bathroom now. That's my rule. That's how I know. Feel real bad for me, guys. I'm only smoking weed in my upstairs bathroom just so I could do a process of elimination. Because if my baby has a neurological disorder, y'all, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to cry. Oh, he's the cutest thing. I'm so obsessed with him. Anyway, he got a puppuccino and he loved it. He's looking at me as if I'm skinning his mother in front of him, but it's really that he wants my coffee because he thinks it's a cup of whipped cream. But it's not, Kevin, it's caffeine, and Lord knows you don't need any more of that. I was rollerblading. I just got done rollerblading not too long ago, and holy fuck, y'all. Yeah, as if we needed another reason to blade on the East River, there are some hot dudes, okay? There are some hotties that are, oh, woo, gorgeous men. Gorgeous men running shirtless on the East River. Attention, gay men and straight women and bi people. There's some hot shirtless running men that are sweaty and glistening on the East River. Another thing I've been doing, I added it to my blading routine just to make it more fun and feel a little risky. But again, risky for me is just so minimal. But there's this part in the East River path that gets really narrow and thin, and you're right next to the highway. I've described it before on here. But the guardrail is low on that part. It's very jarring if you're not used to it, because you're truly 3 feet away from a giant bus going 45 miles an hour. But, you know, it's part of the fun. So one thing I added to my routine is that when I blade downtown, when I blade south, I'm going against those cars in that certain section. And so I give a Miss America wave real slow to all of them. And then I just feel so silly. It's just fun. I don't know. It makes me feel like, ooh, I can't see them, but they could see me. Okay. I forgot I was recording for a second. Hey guys, let's do some fuckboy theater. Too caffeinated, and I've only taken 2 sips of this coffee. Oh, okay. Actually, I should rephrase that. Let's do some fuck girl theater. Well, one, this is a girl's bio. that a guy sent me. Please email me girl shit too, because girls can be pieces of shit as well. Just because you're a lady does not mean you're exempt from being a huge piece of shit. Okay, so I just want to spread that word of equality, that message of equality. This is Courtney's Tinder bio. She's 25. Hey, all you cool cat and kittens. Hashtag Carol killed her husband. I'm sick of pretending to be cool, laid back, a laid back girl, so people will want to date me. I'm insane. I'm literally balls to the wall insane, and that's okay. Pussy immaculate, A1 head game. I will treat you right. I'm the level of clingy that is tolerable. Plus, I'm cute as fuck. High risk, high reward. I want to date this girl. Kane Corso, dog mom. Oh, okay. Can y'all stop cropping out exes already? That's Courtney's bio. Oh, Bobby. Oh, Bobby. Okay, this is a guy. This is a guy now. This is a guy's Tinder bio. His name's Bobby. He's a pro. Oh my God, his job. This is an interesting collection of professional, professions. So Bobby is a pro MMA fighter, a pro boxer, an artist, a model, a poet, a bouncer, an entrepreneur, and a had duck, a hadge duck, H-A-J-D-U-K. What's that? I'm going to look it up. Oh, shit. I'm going to look it up. H-A-J-D-U-K. What does that mean? What does that mean, Google? Please don't be racist. This guy's white. Okay. I still don't know what it means. I Googled it. Still don't know what it means. It's a Croatian football team. HNK. Okay. Well, maybe that. Who cares? Okay. Anyway, this is his bio. This is Bobby's bio. This is Tinder bio. Again, this is the first thing Bobby would like you to know about him. There's no one like me out there. I am the first of my kind. 5'11", 230-pound Serbian beast, ready to mangle and devour a cutie with a munchable booty. Courtney, I have a man for you. I'm a picky eater, so see if you're something I have a taste for. And I can't spell either. Just know that I'm a real man, so I like a real woman. Not silicone injections and fake body parts. No smokers! Just skip this all and Snapchat me. I'm not going to say the handle of Snapchat, but it's really funny. It's like those Old Spice has rebranded the names of their scents to be like Axe Thorn, Wolf Cock. It's kind of like that is what his handle is. Okay, here's a fuckboy conversation. I just took screenshots of it. I haven't really read it. So I don't know. We'll see. I like being surprised by these things as I read them. So you guys are learning about these people just like as soon as I am. Okay. So this is a conversation between a girl and a boy, fuck boy named Justin. Hold on. Let me get in the zone. Hi, Justin. How's it going?
You never wear makeup. You can tell about our height based on photos are both truthful.
Wait, what? You never wear makeup. You can tell about our height based on photos are both truthful. Okay, I don't know what that means. Correct. You win a prize. Think back to when you went to the pediatrician and they had the treasure box. Do you want a Hot Wheels, stickers, or Ring Pop? Your choice. All right, I don't know what's happening here, guys.
Hot Wheels, for sure. When was the last time you have gotten off by a guy going down on you with nothing in return?
Why?
Because I'm horny today and would love to lick a nice kitty.
Oh my God, kill yourself. Well, the answer to your question is last week, and I wouldn't risk COVID for a stranger. Also, if you're horny, licking my pussy isn't going to get you off, and there's always a catch, i.e. getting you off. Nothing in life is free, my dude. We all know that. However, any self-respecting woman knows that she always gets off first, no matter what. Enjoy your time. Oh, enjoy your 4th of July. Why can't I read today? And then he responds, guys.
So last week you just got off with nothing in return? there isn't always a catch. I really don't need to get off. I really don't mind doing it with nothing in return. And yes, I make sure a woman always gets off first.
Well, that's nice. I'm not getting into the details of my sex life with a random guy, but I answered your question. I'm on here to date, not to talk about my sex life with strangers. Have a nice day.
Okay.
That was one. And okay, let's do one more conversation with this guy. This is, oh, this reminds me. I want to do this app. I want to download this app called The League. This is a screenshot of a guy's profile from The League. His name's Dave, and he's 32, and he's 6'2". And now, okay, about me. It says, I'm a little bit funny with an awkward sense of humor. A little bit. That sucks. Interest: basketball, hiking, video games, listening to music, grilling. I love grilling. Let me grill that pussy with my mouth. Ew, I'm okay. No, I injected that. And by his photos, gotta be honest, looks attractive. He's looking at me weird in this one photo, like he's good in bed. Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes a guy will look into the lens of the camera as if he's looking at your pussy. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make any sense? Anyway, here's a conversation between Dave and a chick. Wait, what voice do I want to use for Dave? Hold on. Let me channel. Channel like I'm a fucking psychic healer. Okay, hold on.
Hi, pretty face. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Just a little bored. So I'm just listening to music while texting you, pretty face. What are you up to today?
Can you not call me pretty face, please? My name is Laura. Today is winding down, so I'm doing a little bit of work and then going to head to bed. What about you?
Have you had dinner?
Yeah, it's 6:30. Why?
She said this at 10:12 p.m. Please, why did you text me if you are going to be rude? And then she doesn't answer. And then he says, don't text me if you're going to be a bitch.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I asked you not to call me pretty face after you said it multiple times. I don't think there is any woman, anything wrong with asking to have someone call me by my name. A bitch? So any woman who asks you to call her by her name is a bitch? Is that what you're saying? And scene. The world is fucking falling apart, but it has been for a while. And I think it's just because, like, on the internet, we're all connected. And so we see it, you know, every little thing, we see it. You know, shit was happening back in the, there was, I mean, I just remember when I, the last time I went on a vacation was to Tulum, Mexico. And we took a tour. I took a tour to the ancient Aztec temples. And I was so excited because my boy Domingo Ruiz always quotes mad Aztec knowledge. Okay. So I was like, I want to see their homes. But man, the Aztecs used to just fucking kill each other for sport. There is this game that they used to play, and we saw the court for this game. They had like a fucking cement ball, and they would play it. They would run up and down these like slopes of brick in front of the royal family until they die, except one of them. That's not historically accurate. I'm summarizing in a way that Christina does, which is very minimal details that were actually given to me are relayed to you accurately. So, but it was just crazy sport. But one of the things a tour guide said was just like, yeah, motherfuckers was killing each other all the time. And some people were killing themselves for sacrifice. It's just a lot of bloodshed. So it does seem, if you think about it, that there's a little less bloodshed, but there still is bloodshed. I'm just trying to be positive, y'all. Okay, I am on like another planet for this episode because I just got done rollerblading and I'm caffeinated. So either sorry or you're welcome. I don't know which one it's going to be. But, look, Kevin is, okay. Kevin's new boyfriend is this very soft blanket that I got at Target that I'm like, I'm going to buy this blanket and he's only going to lay on it when he's laying with me and it's not going to be his little boyfriend. And he's not going to piss and lick it. Piss on it and lick it. And it's his favorite thing. I said that to myself when I bought it at Target. And then I brought it home. And then he was like, can I lay on it? And I was like, you can have it, my baby. You can have anything you want. And so it's his now, but he's laying in it and he's so cute. God damn. Just such a cute dog. You guys, getting a dog, very good decision. I talked to somebody at a show that I wasn't on, but I went to see an outdoor show a couple weeks ago. And they had also gotten a puppy. And I was asking how it was. And they were like, dude, it's so hard. And I was like, really? I don't know. It doesn't seem hard to me. But every dog is different. I know some puppies are like fucking nightmares because they're so hyper. This guy's pretty fucking chill. And I love him very much. And he's my best friend. You're my best friend, Kevin. Okay. See, now he sleeps through that. He's so used to me saying, screaming at him that he's my best friend, that he just sleeps through it. And that's what friends are for. I love him. Okay, I Googled, I was watching CNN, like I do, and there's a lot of commercials on, and some of the commercials are fucking stupid. And one of the commercials that was stupid, but also just made me laugh, because I don't listen to radio. Every once in a while, I'll take an Uber, I'll take a taxi, that they're playing the actual radio instead of a playlist, and you hear radio commercials, and they make me fucking cringe. Ugh. Ugh, I hate, some of these commercials are so fucking insulting to the audience. Just, they think they're just catering to the absolute dumbest people, it seems, based off of the commercial. But I was watching a ShamWow guy commercial. There was, the ShamWow guy got replaced. And then with the younger guy, I don't know if the other ShamWow guy, I know Billy Mays fucking Coco D, but that was OxyClean. ShamWow guy, there's like a slew of stories of like, men who, you know, were promoting a product and then died of an overdose. You know, different but similar to the MyPillow guy who was first a crack addict and then turned it around and did the MyPillow. So I was like, what happened to the ShamWow guy? I just Googled it before I pressed record. And it, the top result is Vince Shlomi, the TV pitchman known for selling household doodads such as ShamWow. Holy shit, doodads? I've not heard that word in so long. Known for selling household doodads such as ShamWow. In 2009, Shlomi, also known as Vince Offer, God, he has a lot of names, was arrested for repeatedly punching a Florida prostitute after she bit his tongue. Police records show. I don't know why I think that's so funny. This article, what, New York Daily News, of course, such trash. But I love it. It gives me this beautiful article of the ShamWow guy. Five iconic pitchmen who landed in hot water after becoming as seen on TV famous. I mean, that fucking sentence alone blows. But not as much coke as that ShamWow guy and Billy Mays, RIP. Here's ShamWow, Vince Shlomi. There's his mugshot. Oof, he looks like he got punched in the face. But wait, there's more. Jared Fogle, oh, we all know what he did. The Subway pitchman at the center of Tuesday's child pornography investigation isn't the first career spokesperson to find himself in hot water after making a living hawking products on TV. While Fogle hasn't been arrested or charged, this is an old article, charged, the sub chain said it was concerned and monitoring the situation closely. Yeah, motherfucker, that fat fuck lost a couple hundred pounds and got real cocky and started fucking kids, or not fucking them, but watching child porn. Who knows what he really did, what the worst of it is. You never know if you've heard the worst of it or not. Probably haven't. So yeah, that motherfucker got mad thin and then was like, this 17-year-old wants to fuck. And then the 17-year-old was like, ew, dude. Again, that's not an accurate account of what happened. Billy Mays, the infomercial king, was found dead in his Florida home. A lot of Florida is common denominator, if you noticed. And being on television promoting as seen on TV products. Found dead in his Florida home in 2009. Using cocaine in the days leading up to his heart attack death, his autopsy reported. That sucks. Mays, the 15-year-old spokesperson known for selling OxyClean, Orange Glow, Mighty Putty, and dozens of other products, also had a toxic mix of powerful prescription painkillers, anti-anxiety drugs. Well, yeah, that's the even out all that coke and alcohol in his system when he died. Okay. The ShamWow guy. Yeah, that's too sad. Let's get to the ShamWow guy. He's still living. Vince Shlomi, the TV pitchman known for selling household doodads such as the ShamWow cleaning cloth and the Slap Chop food prep tool, doesn't have the cleanest record. In 2009, Shlomi, also known as Vince Offer, was arrested for repeatedly punching a Florida prostitute after she bit his tongue, police records show. The professional peddler was never charged. Oh, of course! They probably arrested the sex worker. But his bruised and blooded mugshot soiled his image. That's what you get for punching a prostitute. In 2013, he said the incident, quote, probably saved his life and forced him to clean up his act. Oh, and then the Dell dude. Who's the Dell dude? The Dell dude? Ben Curtis, who peddled computers with the tagline, dude, you're getting a Dell. Oh, yeah. Between 2000 and 2003. Was arrested for trying to buy a bag of weed in Manhattan's Lower East Side in 2003. Oh, fuck off. I fucking buy pills in the broad of daylight. I've purchased so many drugs. That's so fucked up. Please don't tell me, but okay, wait. Ben Curtis, Dell dude. Oh, he looks like a pedophile, but I don't think he is one. He's cute. The case was dismissed after Curtis stayed out of trouble for a year, but the blonde computer spokesman was never seen in another Dell ad. I mean, Christ almighty, he was trying to buy weed. You fucking relax. Since then, he's worked on TV as an actor, on TV and short films. Well, good for you. Anyway, the fucking ShamWow guy got punched. Wait, man, that's fun. What happened to the ShamWow guy? I'm glad I Googled that. I'm glad I Googled that before I recorded because, wait, where'd my notes go for this? Guys, I don't know what is up and what is down. I have been in my house a lot lately because that's where all my stuff is. And I've been going out sporadically to meet up with people, small groups, because again, New York City is doing well with this COVID-19 outbreak because we was scared as hell when we weren't doing well. And everybody on the street is like, wear your fucking mask, prick! So that is helpful. The cases seem to be going down here, so it's nice that the city does not have a death vibe anymore. Whereas it used to. And they, you know what they did? They stopped parking the truck full of dead bodies across the street from my home. Oh, that is so nice. So that's cool. But I've been going out and then realizing immediately that I don't want to be there and then just coming back home. I think I've heard of agoraphobia, or I've heard it talked about in length, which is basically where you're afraid to leave your home. And whenever I hear people talk about it, if it's something that I don't understand, obviously I want to try to understand as many things as possible, but there's not enough time or room in my head to do so. So, but the times I've heard about agoraphobia, I'm like, that's stupid. But now I'm like, I don't ever want to leave here. And I'm not scared to leave my home. I just don't want to. And I've heard some accounts of agoraphobia where it's not like you're not gripped by this terrible fear so much as just like, it's just this push to keep you inside. I don't know. I had a friend who described it like that on a good day. And I was like, yeah, I can kind of see that. It's just, we're all going crazy. We're going fucking nuts. Oh, in addition to the ShamWow commercial. Oh, I wrote down all these notes about commercials I wanted to tell you. There's this commercial for HD Vision Special Op sunglasses. And again, it's similar to that, like that dude's Snapchat handle where it's like Wolfcock Thorn Sword Axe kind of thing. And there, it's like, to me, if I was a man, I know exactly what kind of guy they're trying to appeal to in this commercial and what kind of woman. A white lady or a white guy who lives in like Montana, owns camo shit, has an axe, like a crossbow for sure. Knows someone in the military, but was not in the military themselves, but wants to feel as if they were. That kind of person. Wait, let me see if I can Google this commercial, because it is fucking H. Wait, special ops. It's just so fucking, That's what I'm saying by, oh, here we go. I typed in HD into YouTube and it goes HD special ops sunglasses commercial. Like, yeah, actually, that's exactly what I was looking for. Now it's just giving me tactical sunglasses. So it's this guy, the spokesperson for HD Vision Special Ops glasses. It basically lets you see in HD in the bright sun, and it makes your vision better. But this guy comes on who looks like he has definitely called the cops on a black person for existing, for sure. He screams that by his face, and chiseled chin strap he has. Let me see if this is. Oh, this is a guy reviewing the special.
To buy into some as seen on TV.
Oh God, I hate when you Google like the commercial and then it's just all these YouTubers that are like, "Here's my review of it." I don't give a shit.
First rule of special ops: be aware of your surroundings. Complete visual clarity.
Oh wait, the spokesperson's name is Chris with a K. Chris, and it's like a nick. Oh, fuck, I clicked out of it. Chris Tanto, and that's in quotes, so I'm guessing it's a nickname. Peronto, former U.S. Army Ranger Special Forces Group. So that's the spokesperson for Special Ops HD sunglasses. And this is the commercial for it.
First rule of Special Ops: be aware of your surroundings. Complete visual clarity. Because survival, safety, and success depend on it.
I know this isn't what he's saying, but just based off of the current climate, I feel like what he means is like, if you're walking down the street, you could spot any person of color. Like, if you look at this guy's face while he's saying those words, you just... And it just could be that I'm watching too much news, but boy, oh boy, he looks like that's what he's really saying. But again, that's just my comedic interpretation.
Special optics give you the power to see all your surroundings. They're HD vision. Special ops.
Nice.
Most
sound effect, bro.
Just make things darker. And in a tactical situation, that can be deadly.
Inspired by the needs of our men and women in uniform, Special Ops lets you do things normal sunglasses just can't do. You see your surroundings in high definition.
High def.
Color, contrast, and clarity so sharp, you'll never want to be without them.
And HD Vision Special Ops reduce glare without darkening your view.
Same polycarbonate material used in military aircraft. A high-performance design.
An old white guy on a bike.
Special
old white guy on a boat.
UV protection.
Old white guy in the mountain.
And can survive the harshest conditions.
Because no matter where you are or what you do, seeing clearly can save your life.
Or give you a tactical advantage.
Old guy
even
in the marshes in camo.
It's just the clarity of everything around you. It's like it brightens everything up. Or looking across the field, you can see things very clearly, which is
that guy looks
extremely
like a
nice and very
butch.
The lenses are so clear, it's like there's nothing there. Everything just pops.
Yeah, so that's HD Special Ops sunglasses. Shit's so funny. And then, I don't know, there's certain commercials that are specific to your local hometown. There's this one commercial, and the jingle popped into my head the other day, and I was like, damn, I'm pretty sure that's a Pennsylvania thing. But Stanley Steamer, I don't know if this is a very niche reference, but there's this commercial where it's a cartoon old man and it's like, Stanley Steamer, tough on dirt, gentle on carpet. And I kept singing that today. I'm like, what a lame ass thing to have stuck in my head. Anyway, one thing I've been watching, guys, there's a show that I used to watch called Unsolved Mysteries. I think it was on Lifetime. I don't know. But anyway, Netflix has revived it. And they kept the same theme music, but everything else is completely different. And so there are all these episodes on Netflix right now of Unsolved Mysteries of really tragic fucking stories. And some of these stories, very well told, first off. I don't know what the rules are for documentary crime miniseries shit. But they knocked this out of the park in terms of storytelling and in terms of like letting you know details little by little. It's such a gripping series. I'm very impressed with the way it's done. And I've been watching, I watched all of those episodes in 2 days. Right before I went to bed. What is it about nighttime, right before you're about to rest your little head down and go off to dreamland, that makes you feel oddly comforted hearing about families getting murdered? Not comforted. I don't know what the word is, but it's just a feeling that I get that I don't want to watch this shit any other time, day or night, except right before I go to bed. What does that say about me? I don't know. Feel free to weigh in. The Voices in Our Heads podcast at gmail.com. Anyway, I was watching this and I learned a lot of things. One of the things I learned was this one family story. The mom straight up murdered one of her daughters and her ex-husband. And she's just hanging out there. She's alive and out there. She murdered one of her daughters and legally adopted that daughter's baby, that dead daughter's baby, and is straight up chilling in like fucking Kansas or whatever. I'm like, God damn. It was scary. And then they did an episode on aliens. Yo. Unsolved Mysteries threw me a fucking curveball with an aliens episode. I thought it was going to be about a UFO sighting. And then they kept telling the story gradually. And then slowly, there's this dude they interviewed who said that he got abducted by an alien in Massachusetts. Okay? This shit is happening in the goddamn Northeast, and I'm very jealous that I've yet to encounter it. They emailed, or they interviewed for this one episode, like six separate people in this rural town in Massachusetts who all got fucking abducted by aliens. I mean, wow. My ex's sister, I remember, told me she took a class in college, and it was taught by, this class in college was about aliens and UFOs. And on one of the days, the professor had, oh wait, is my stand coming off? Hold on. The professor had people who are survived alien abductions come in and talk about it. And I was asking her, I was like, yo, like, what did you think? Did you think it was real? And she's like, honestly, yeah. I'm like, holy shit. And then wasn't there news about aliens being like confirmed that they're real a couple months ago? So much shit is happening. Guys, it's a reminder to turn off the television and turn off your news programs and just listen to stupid shit like this to let yourself breathe. Because it's important to read the news and read books and talk to people and ask yourself questions. But also, what's also important is just listen to stupid shit like this. It's just silly time. Because that I want to help restore your sanity. Oh, and speaking of these fucking... Okay, so watch Unsolved Mysteries if you have Netflix. I highly recommend it. Such good storytelling. Those people weren't lying either. They definitely saw aliens. You could tell. Oh, here's what I want to do. Just because the internet is a special place and fun things can come out of it. If you're listening to this and you've ever seen a UFO or been abducted by an alien, I believe you. Email me and tell me about it. Statistically, there might not be anybody listening who has been, or if you know somebody. I just want to see, because the thing is, it never hurts to ask. Asking shit as a podcast host, being like, I don't know, any of you motherfuckers listening ever experienced XYZ? Fucking, and then without fail, at least one of you has. So let's see. Power to the people. Anyone been abducted by an alien? Email me, thevoicesinourheadspodcast@gmail.com. Email me the story and I'll read it. Based off of everybody on this Unsolved Mysteries episode, it seemed not that bad. Scary, of course, because you don't know what's going to happen. Now, these are the people who survived it. But it didn't seem like the aliens like raped them or anything. But who knows? But they do exist, and that's cool. And then fucking CNN keeps airing this ASPCA commercial. And it's like, it takes break. I guess I got the Hulu. This is how I get my cable, through Hulu. I have a Hulu subscription and I get all the cable through that. And I thought I opted for no commercials Because I don't let, but then I'm, you know what, secretly, I'm glad I didn't, because I can't, I wouldn't have ever known that the ShamWow guy got arrested for getting punched by a prostitute for after he bit her, she bit his tongue, whatever. It, I mean, I would have never known that. But these ASPCA commercials that last for 17 minutes, I have to mute them because I'm like, guys, black people are getting murdered by the police. There are children in America that are going without clean water or food. Women are getting raped. Pedophiles are running around. I don't got time to worry about your dog with a cleft palate. I just, I can't take, just stop showing me pain. Oh my God. Jesus Christ. So this ASPCA commercial comes on and I'm like, all right, I'm just going to mute it. Because it played that, what, this is Little Rover. He just got fucked in the ass by a truck. And he's just laying on the side of the road dying. Will you help save him? Like, fuck you. Fuck you with your goddamn guilt tactic. Ugh. Find another tactic that plays to my intelligence, please. And maybe I'll give you 99 cents a month. ASPCA. Jesus. It's scarring. I don't want to see an injured animal. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm empath to the max or what, whatever, but I cannot handle. Oh, I've talked to Corinne about this. She's like, yeah, I've watched an ISIS beheading video. I'm like, I don't know how that would fuck me up for the rest of my life. I never want to see that shit ever. A beheading video. I'm good. Animal abuse video. Absolutely not. I know what happens, but don't fucking ruin my day by showing me that shit. Okay. I got a non-injured, beautiful fur son next to me, who I love very much. And even before I got him, I did not like seeing animals cut in half in the middle of the road. ASPCA, okay? It makes me hate you, even though you're helping them. But it makes me hate you for showing me that. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make any sense? Anyway, the commercial lasted for 39 minutes. An hour. It was just so, because I muted it. And then I kept looking down at the floor because I didn't want to look down because you can't fast forward during commercials and fucking Hulu. And then every time I looked up, still there, still bloody animals, bloody kittens and puppies. The commercial lasted for 17 days. Whatever. Chris Cuomo. I want to marry Chris Cuomo. That's a note that I wrote. Oh, okay. I've been really tickled by these commercials lately. Do you know that there is a piece of a pizza called the Shaq-a-roni? Let's see if I can get a commercial for this. Shaq-a-roni. Does it involve Shaq, the basketball player? Goddamn right it does. Shaq-a-roni. Oh, see again, it's all these YouTubers reviewing the Shaq-a-roni. And it's just a pizza that's bigger than the hood of your car with pepperoni, and Shaq's face is on the box, which that's cool. Review number 70, Papa John's Shaq-a-roni pizza. Let's see what this guy has to say about Shaq-a-roni.
So, new pizza at Papa John's. I'm sure we've all heard about it. There's probably already a flood of videos on YouTube.
What the where are you from, Alaska?
Already, but we're gonna do it anyways because I wanted to. It's the new Shaq-a-roni pizza. It's bigger than pizza.
All right, this guy, no offense, dude, but you fucking suck at these videos. You only have 744 views and you're reading off of a piece of paper. And then to the left, he has a giant knife and a cleaver. Okay, you're gonna fucking, no, I'm okay. Anyway, this is pizza called the Shaq-a-roni that I just thought was funny that I just wanted to just tell you if you didn't know. If you're hungry, again, no sponsors for this podcast. I'm just going to name products that have commercials that make me laugh. The things I would do to Chris Cuomo. The things I have done to him in my head. I love his dimples. I would lick him. He's so cute. Ugh. He's so cute. He's so cute. Okay, guys, this is going to be a short episode because the next couple episodes are going to be a more of a deep dive. So when I went into Don Miguel Ruiz, The Four Agreements, and kind of broke it up into the amount of episodes that I did where I talked about stupid shit at the top, and then I spent the last 20 to 30 minutes talking about a part of this book. I'm going to do that again with another book. Because I was thinking, you know, how can I help make the world a better place? And how can I make it fun to learn? And how can I improve people? How can I inspire people to improve themselves? And I really do believe the horse shit that comes out of my mouth, if you can believe it. And I think that I have, because I've read so many books, because I've listened to so many books, I feel like I have a good gauge on the ones that are the most effective. And certainly the Four Agreements is like the basis of my being since I read it. But there's one book that I'm going to do a deep dive in starting next week. And it's by a man. I've talked about this book before on the podcast, but I'm going to do a fucking proper deep dive. It's by Nathaniel Brandon. Justin Silver had talked to had recommended this author to me. And this is one of his books. It's called The Six Pillars of Self-Esteem. I really do think that if people on this planet had truly a healthy sense of self-esteem, then there would be so much less racism, so much less misogyny, homophobia. There'd be less rape. I would even go as far to say there'd be less molesting. Because if people had a proper sense of self-esteem, then that means they feel fulfilled with just themselves and they don't need these outside things to be. Look, the molesting part, I take back. That was more of me making a ha-ha. But I just think that self-esteem is a key component to what's wrong with the world. And it's what a simple thing to work on. And that's why it's the internal work that you have to do. It's the putting on your own air mask before you take out the air mask and put it on the baby next to you. You got to do you first, even though you're like, that baby's suffocating as well. Well, doesn't matter. Put yours on first. Okay? So I'm going to do a deep dive into the six pillars of self-esteem because this fucking book, man. Whew. One of the quotes, I'm just going to read you one quote. Okay, I want to read you two quotes. They're really short. Because I started making notes about everything I like about this book, and I'm like, I'm just going to do a proper deep dive. One of the things that the author says is, be careful what you say to your children. They might agree with you. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, shit. Damn, that hurt. Be careful what you say to your children. They might agree with you. Yeah, Nathaniel, I wish you were there when I was 7. That's such a great quote. And then he has a section about therapy, and he said judgmental remarks are not said in therapy, by your therapist meaning, because they are not helpful. They don't evoke change. And that was an interesting concept. Those are just two lines that I wrote down, and I was like, you know what, fuck this. I'm doing a deep dive. But these are the kind of little gems you're going to be getting from these deep dive episodes coming up. And I'm going to make this episode shorter today. And I wanted to end it by saying, if you are short on cash and want me to get you a paperback copy of Six Pillars of Self-Esteem by Nathaniel Brandon, email me at thevoicesinourheadspodcast@gmail.com. And this is what I need, because they're going to be ordered off of Amazon. So this is what I need from you. I need your full name, your phone number, because Amazon wants a phone number. I'm not going to call you. None of this shit is, it's going to be private, I promise. But if you want me to buy it for you, I need your full name, your phone number, and your full mailing address. That's all I need. And I'll get you a paperback copy of this book. It's so good. It's so good. So if you're short on cash, please email me and we'll get you the book and we'll start the deep dive next week. And I'm really excited because I think that once you have an understanding of what a healthy sense of self-esteem is in the first place, because I didn't really have I couldn't really define it for you in a well-rounded way before I read this book. A lot of things change and you start to notice the way other people treat you and the way maybe some of your friends treat you that doesn't make you feel good. And you notice, why am I sticking around? Why am I still fucking friends with this person? They make me feel like shit. And then you're like, oh, I don't want to be your friend anymore. You're fucking mean. And it gives you the self-esteem to do stuff like that. That's certainly what it did for me. It really highlights relationships I have with people that are not nice. People who kind of suck and just like gaslight you, make you feel like shit. If you have a healthy sense of self-esteem, you can identify that, and holy hell, that'll make your life so much better. And you can also stick up for yourself without boiling over with anger. Hot tip. If that's something you do, it's certainly something I did. So I'm very excited to share this book because it's got some gems in it. Every line is like, oh shit. Like, it's so, this book is such an important read, and I really feel like everybody on the planet, it should be required reading in school, because that's when your self-esteem is so fragile in high school, middle school, a lot of the times. But then when you grow up and you never fix it, which is most of us, you grow up and be a piece of shit. And one of the goals that I have with this podcast is to make you not a piece of shit. So let's not be pieces of shit. And we'll read The Six Pillars of Self-Esteem by Nathaniel Brandon. Guys, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for not killing yourself. I truly appreciate it. I hope you have a very wonderful hump day. And I will talk to you next week. I love you. Be nice to people.